This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. As I said, going out, coming back in, we were going to listen to some players talk, got a chance to get some offense and defensive guys. And the first guy is tight end Joel Hogefer, former offensive lineman.
To get that first elusive catch against the
draft. It's a pretty exciting feeling. I did not expect that ball to come to me. Not going to lie, I was running my route. I was trying to figure out if I should convert it or not. Ended up not converting it. Turned back to the quarterback, and the ball was already on its way. So, which was kind of a blessing, to be honest with you, because I didn't have to think about, you know, hey, maybe I should catch this or not. It was like, all right, like, it's here. Let's go. And caught it and just turned up field, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to run straight. Like, I'm not going to test out any juke moves right now. But, no, it was a really cool feeling. I wanted to, like, after it happened, I was like, yeah, you know, can't get, like, too hyped. Like, we're in the middle of a huge game. Like, can't just, like, take over, like, for myself and get, like, emotionally hijacked. So I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, hand the ball to the official and start running back to the huddle. And I was fine. And then Eric Gall comes up behind me and starts, like, yelling in my ear. I think you can see it on the TV copy. And I was, like, just broke and started smiling then. And, like, Andrew Stuber started laughing. It was an awesome moment, though. It was really cool.
Why was Stuber laughing? I mean, were the offensive linemen laughing?
Yeah, it was just a really, like, crazy moment because I've played offensive line with them my first 3.5 years. And now I'm running routes and catching passes. And, like, it was always something we kind of joked about. I mean, it was always a possibility, but more of a run blocker first, but just that it happened, it was just like a funny moment. It was just cool. Like, I think he was more laughing out of, like, his, like, excitement for me, and that it was just like, wow, like, he really just did catch a pass, like, this did happen, which was, I mean, it was cool.
Have you been pleading with the coaches for more targets now?
I joked with them after the game, but I mean, they're going to put me in the positions that they want to put me into. I'm a run blocker first, and if I need to run any deep routes, I'm sure they'll let me know. But I don't see that coming anytime soon. But, I mean, I definitely solidified my name in there a little bit more as a pass catcher. You know, not just an ex-offensive lineman now. I got hands, so. But I think the last time I talked to you guys, you're like, oh, you know, when's that going to happen? Well, now it has happened, so now we're here.
You joked about before how, you know, the offensive linemen are just smashing into each other all day, and you're just kind of running around catching the ball. And they're a little dinged up up front now, too. So, I mean, how much different is the physicality? Because there's some aspect of them, a tight end as well. Just how different is it day to day?
We still hit a lot. We hit hard. It's an aggressive position, especially the way that we play it. But I'd say, so as far as, like, the offensive line goes, the majority of that is more just consistent, you know, blocking, like, engaging, stuff like that. Where at tight end, you know, you could be blocking out on the perimeter, you know, going back across the formation, pulling up inside, anything like that. So it's a lot more of, like, collisions. But, I mean, it's not the offensive line. I've played that, and that's a lot more hitting constantly, smashing your fingers, things like that. It's a pretty brutal position, but it's fun if you embrace it. But I love tight end. I love being able to not only get to do that, but, you know, get out and run a little bit and show off some of the speed that I've recently developed. So, yeah.
Was there a certain aspect of the game, or maybe a few, that you as a tight end group worked on during the bye week?
We just wanted to work on our consistency. It's too often in the games, you know, I can speak for myself. I'll have plays where I'll perform really well, blocking really well. Even the routes that I run are done really well. And then look at other plays and it's like, where's the disconnect? Why am I not doing it all the time? Which is something I need to focus on to make this team better. And I know it's the same for the other guys, just consistency. So we're never having that fall off on any play. So it's really goes for the whole team in a whole. So, yeah.
Have any fun during the bye week?
Saturday, We had off, so what we did in my house, we set up, so we have our TV in our living room. It's like 65-inch TV. We were watching college football, and then we were like, oh, we should bring another TV in here. We bring another TV, it's like 50-inch, and then hook up Xbox 360 to it, and playing NCAA 2014. And I was there probably for 10 hours.
Hey, Joel, if you're listening right now, I'd like to borrow that 2014. Just want to give you the heads up right now. Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball and hear what the offensive lineman Andrew Stuber had to say.
Impressed with plugging in, I think it was 5 guards, and got played in that game.
Yeah, I'm super proud of everyone in the O-line who stepped up there. I think I looked over about 4 times. I saw a different person play next to me. I have full confidence. I think Coach Moore has full confidence in everyone that played in that game. And, you know, it showed. Obviously, you know, they went in there, and we didn't skip a beat. They knew exactly what they're doing. They came off the ball full speed, and I think that's a great testimony to Coach Moore and how he prepares everyone to play. And, you know, my first start was on the road in kind of a big game. So I always tell them, you know, you got to be ready at any moment. These games get crazy, especially on a travel game. There's less people, so you always have to be ready when your name gets called. And sure enough, a lot of guys' names did get called, and they all responded great.
It's been a year since you guys played the opener last year, and you're also playing, I guess, in your 7th game this year, which, you know, is more than you played last year. I mean, how bizarre was last year, especially with just the kind of stop-start nature of everything? And, you know, how did that kind of, I guess, maybe reinforce the idea that, you know, you guys are kind of creatures of habit?
Yeah, I mean, last year just kind of didn't really feel like college football in a lot of ways. It was, you know, no fans in any stadium, kind of not starting on time, not getting the time to really kind of bond with everyone in a camp or in a hotel or something. Really kind of affected the nature of college football and I think the nature of a lot of teams. But I think what it did teach us this year was that, you know, no game is taken for granted. You know, every opponent we looked at is, you know, we could lose this team, you know, if we don't show up. And so I think that's showed up in our kind of preparation for every team. You know, no team is taken lightly. We're not looking behind. We're not looking ahead. We're looking at the week ahead of us. So this week, you know, it's Northwestern. Obviously, we're not taking them lightly at all. They're a good team. They've always been a good team. So I think that's something that's carried over this year. And I think it's, you know, it's built into our preparation now. And I think it's shown with our record of how well we prepare now compared to last year.
Were there any lessons learned, I guess, from the focus level, I guess, you know, going through what you guys?
I don't know. I think mostly it was just such a weird year overall. I mean, I don't think you can point at one thing and say this was the main cause, but it just wasn't college football and it wasn't us in general. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, it was a tough year, and so I'm glad we're out of it now. But I think it was definitely a great moment to kind of not take, you know, this team advantage or football for granted. And so we're all back. We're all proud to be playing and happy to be playing. And yeah, it finally feels like college football is back.
You told me before the season that David Java was the guy that you thought was going to – that made the biggest strides in the offseason. He was really good this year. Has he kind of lived up to your expectations? He exceeded them? What have you been seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, Ojabo's been a great player so far. You know, and it's tough when, you know, the guy on the other side is, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. It's tough to kind of compete with that. But, you know, he's found his role, and he's playing great. I mean, you know, he's had sacks in multiple games, strip sacks. And so, you know, going against him in camp every day, I knew how good he could be. It was just kind of linking, you know, two things together. It was kind of linking the mental aspect with, you know, his physical capabilities. And so I think he's done a great job in doing that. And I think Coach Mack's defense has allowed him to be the player he wants to be. And so, you know, he's done great these first 6 games. And I hope, you know, he can keep learning, continuing improving his game, and, you know, continue to be a huge part for us on defense.
How would you describe what has transpired in college football this year with so many top teams losing, the top 10 fluctuating so much, and seemingly like a lot of parity throughout college football?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is that, you know, obviously COVID last year, it was a free year for a lot of teams, for a lot of players who got a year back. And so I think now you're seeing a lot of very experienced players coming out, a lot of very experienced teams especially. So a bunch of these teams that you wouldn't expect to be, who historically were not as good, have now really developed players, have really players that, you know, 5th or 6th year guys that got an extra year and said, yeah, sure, I'll come back. And so I think that has led to a lot of teams to kind of overperform more, better than expected. And so overall, I think that just leads to a more competitive overall college atmosphere. You know, I'm not really a huge fan of kind of one team dominating all of college football. I think, you know, it's more fun if you know, there's always a chance that the team could lose, no matter how good they are. That's what made college football, you know. So I'm kind of excited to see how college football plays out this year, and excited to be in the mix, and hopefully we can keep climbing.
That's offensive lineman Andrew Stuber. Let's head to the defensive side of the ball. A couple of secondary men that have been really showing their stuff this season. We'll start with the cornerback, Jamon Green.
Before the season, you and Vince had talked about how you were excited to be able to mix coverage this year and play things that aren't just man 100% of the time. I think so far this season it's been heavier on zone than man. How have you felt about sort of the variety, and what do you think it's freed you guys up to do as a defense?
How it freed us up? Yeah. Like, we could disguise a little bit better. It helped us as a player, because that's what they kind of do in the league, so it kind of helped us getting a good look at it early on, like while we were in college. But it took some pressure off us, like I said before, I think in an earlier interview. But, you know, we still got to play ball.
How much better do you feel, or just actually how do you evaluate how you feel based off of the last six games or playing the six games last year?
My confidence is a lot better than last year. Playing throughout the first six games, but last year, you know, I was trying to get better, like same as this year, but I don't know. It was just, I feel like we prepared better each week this year than we did last year, so that's probably pretty much it for just preparation.
Did you get that experience too?
Oh, experience, yeah, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does the secondary play your ass?
We getting better each week. You know, we still miss sometimes, but hey, you gotta like learn from those mistakes for real, and just have better eyes and communication through it. That's what we gotta get good at, is communication. So that's pretty much it.
How much more are you
coaching
and kind of interacting with you guys, kind of taking what you're telling them and applying it, and vice versa? I mean, is there more of a back and forth, I guess, this year with the coaching staff and the players versus maybe last year?
This year, like, it's kind of going back and forth. Like, we kind of, like, feel, like, uncomfortable with something, like in the coverage or something, we'll come and talk to the coaches, and they'll try to help us out. Like, or, like, last year we didn't kind of do that. We didn't do that for real. Like, we couldn't have no one-on-one conversations for real about the defense. It was always, like, play this, you do that. But this year, like, you kind of adjust. We do a lot of adjustments, even throughout the games. So, yeah, I feel like it's a lot better just adjusting stuff this year.
How much do you think that kind of creates ownership for you guys on the defense, knowing that, you know, you're having a big role in saying, you know, what's going on?
It, like, communication for real. Like, talking with each other. Like, if the linebacker's getting something difficult for them, it's going to, like, they got to come to us, and we get to talk to coaches, Coach Mack or Coach Clink. Yeah, they're just going to, like, he's gonna help us out. Yeah. That's the team. No, you good.
Why didn't you feel like you were able to go to the coaches last year, and compared to why you feel more comfortable being able to go to the coaches this year?
I feel like it's more like man on man this year. I feel like we have to have a full conversation with the coaches. Like, I can just go in his office like right now and just sit there for like an hour, just talk, chop it up with him about anything, football, life. Last year I didn't kind of do that much. But yeah, that was last year.
How often do you do that? How often do you go and say you saw something, or you want to maybe try something different?
I do it all the time, because, you know, I'm still new to this coverage, and so it's some stuff that I'm not good at, and I try to get better each week about it. But they try to help me out. They try to figure out what I can do on this coverage to help me out to be a better player, or see, have a better vision. So that's pretty much it.
Has it been to not look to next week's game against Michigan State? That's a lot of buzz about it already. And how challenging is it to not look that far ahead?
To be honest, it's not challenging at all. We get try to take one week at a time. We're not even worrying about Michigan State right now. We're worrying about Northwestern. So that's pretty much it for real.
Did you have any reaction when you found out it was a noon game at all? What was your reaction?
Oh, no, it don't even matter for real to me. Take every game seriously for real.
Your feeling about playing for this trophy that's up for grabs in the Northwestern game and honoring?
Oh yeah, it's a new trophy. It's in our locker room right now, so we're gonna keep it there for real.
Well, I know Roman missed the Nebraska game, but he had his best game of his career against Wisconsin. What did you see from him in the weeks leading up to that and how he's grown as a player?
Preparation. In practice, he go up for the ball, like that catch that he made. Like he used to just go up on, like, trying to be like Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell is good with the hot balls, jumping over people and stuff like that. So I feel like he learned that from Ronnie and took that to practice that week before he got hurt. And he just had a good week. Preparation and practice, that's going all the way to show up in the game. So that's what I feel like.
Talking about the hurdling skills of Hassan Haskins, it must have taken a lesson out of his teammate's book of Ronnie Bell. We wrap up with the head of the safeties, or the secondary at least. Acknowledge him, Dax Hill.
The communication you guys are having with the coaching staff, everybody's said that it seems like there's more of a back and forth where they're accepting input from you guys and then applying what they're hearing from you guys and what you're seeing on the field.
Coaches, they're trying to get a feel of our playing styles, and we're trying to get a feel of how they're coaching. So I feel like, it's always a learning curve for whoever is out there, whether it's players, coaches. And so, whatever we have in mind, keep that in mind and see if they can adjust to that. So it's never like something where we're going to do one thing, we're going to stick to that. They change it up if we have something we want to change up.
Obviously, the interception against Nebraska. Did you know for a fact that you had it when you got up?
It was one of my at first, I kind of felt like it touched the ground, but I knew I had it. But it was, I don't know what happened. All I know, I came up with it. It's kind of
what
I felt.
What happened at the end, too, with the last play that you were out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, playing the game. Got my head a little bit, but it's a play we had to come through, and so it was a good play by all of us, and we stopped and fucked down. So.
Do anything fun over the bye week?
Yeah, just relax, recover. Definitely at this point in time, halfway during the season, some recovery, and so I got a lot of that in and just chilled out.
As a player, do you prefer that type of coaching style communication or that you guys are chopping up together?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, communication is key, whether it's players on the field or players and coaches on the sideline. So we all do a good job just communicating and seeing what is best for the defense.
Which coach is most interactive?
All of them, really. Whoever's on the sideline, some of them are in the box, but whoever's on the sideline, they all communicate, so.
Zach, we talked to you earlier this year. I know you were saying you're still learning a lot, trying to figure things out now at the halfway point. How much more comfortable do you feel as your role has changed over the course of the season?
I definitely feel more comfortable. That's a testament to just being coached up hard every day. Very practice, I think that's kind of helped me out a lot in terms of the game is a lot easier for me. I definitely feel like practices are a lot harder. Come game time, I feel like I'm better prepared. So I feel like that's kind of raised my game.
Time for a few more.
This is a new trophy game this weekend. The first African American player at Michigan and Northwestern. How does that affect you? Is that more meaningful to you in a sense?
Yes. Definitely just the history behind it. I know this is the first game that's ever going to be played, regarding that trophy and, what he did. So I feel like, what he did, I feel like that could be an inspiration to us. And, I feel like it's definitely a historical game. So.
Transpired the Northwestern game the Nebraska game with the unsportsmanlike penalty at the end, and was that something that they talked to you about in the future?
No, I mean, I feel like, I kind of knew what I was doing, but at the same time, but it was just how the game went. It was an exciting game, the crowd was all into it, and we all, as players, you know, being out there is kind of this heat of the moment.
Any anxiety when you saw the flag come out?
A little bit, I'm not going to lie. A little bit, yeah. Got the first down offense, so it was good.
And that was Daxon Hill. Want to thank the Wolverine for providing that that audio for us of all the two coaches and the players. If you want to see the entire interviews, mgoblue.com, or just search on YouTube, the Wolverine, as we bring the boys back in. Acknowledge Daxon Hill. Acknowledge him.
You good?
Daxon Hill is he's the best player. He's the best player in the secondary.
He is your secondary chief. Acknowledge him.
I just did. I said he's the best player in the secondary. I mean, he can play both positions, safety as well as corner. He's probably your best cover corner out there. I mean, if you're looking for somebody to shut down your slot receiver, Daxon Hill, he's probably your guy. I mean, he's your go-to guy. So, I mean, that's acknowledgement. R.J. Moten should be the one that's really – appreciative towards Daxon, because Daxon's willing to, he's not put up that, I'm just a safety. I'm willing to play corner. I'll play both positions, coach. He's that team guy, too. He's team-oriented, whatever's best for the team. So he's that kind of guy that you need on your defense right now. I mean, as well as you get to the next level, Josh Ross, you get to the other level, Aiden Hutchinson, yes. But back there in the back, that's your guy.
He's the most talented, but everybody's played above expectations. Everybody's playing above themselves, I would say, in that secondary. Hawkins making the plays that he did, game-winning plays, literally game-winning plays like he did at Nebraska, but I think he's done a great job. I don't think there's been a pass completed on Brad Hawkins the entire season. I think he has done an excellent job. The corners, I still think there's work to be done there, but I do think that they've played above expectations. I think they're going to need to play really well when we get into some of those bigger games if we're going to come out with the W, but I think everybody in that secondary has played above expectations, but Daxon Hill, he's as close to as talented as they come. That interception, I was watching some highlights of that Nebraska game again the other day. To keep his eyes focused on the ball and be able to reel that one in, only special players can make plays like that, and he is a special player. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we're going to take a break, but expectations. Think about that, because we're going to talk about that on the other side. Things have grown now. You've had your you were going to be content if Michigan went 8-4. That's at the beginning of the season.
I wouldn't say I was content, but that was my prediction.
You were content with 8-4 because that's what you said, 8-4. Anybody else? Everybody else was 7-5. And yep. Some people were at 6-6. I mean, hey, yep. Guess what? Now let's get real world. What's your expectation now? On the other side, you're listening to the M Zone. We address the hard questions. The premier show.